First of all, thank you. I have not spoken at this length since I was a youth leader in high school in my youth group. So the memory is not what it used to be, but hopefully I will remember most of what I want to say. I did bring some notes, so you'll have to excuse me if I have to refer to those. Today, I am so sure you saw the title of the talk, which is The Language of Love. So I was taught by a social worker friend of mine that we all have different love languages. For some, it's touch. For some, it's giving and receiving gifts. And for some, it's words of affirmation. When we look at the animal kingdom, we see the same language of love. Pig mothers sing to their babies in gentle grunts that sound much like humming. Cows nuzzle and hold their young close. Chickens, when they find something exciting or find birdseed in the sand, they literally call to their friends, call them over to join them and share in the feast. I learned at a young age how much animals loved companionship, playing, and attention. When I learned of the love languages, I realized that in this respect, animals speak the same language as humans. Many of us understand this when it comes to our animal companions who we share our daily lives with, like cats and dogs. I've often heard from people that when they're not feeling well or they're sad, that their cats and dogs draw near to them to provide comfort for them, like they understand that their parents are sad. And I've heard that many times when the animals are not feeling well, they draw close again to their humans because they want that comfort from them. Again, this is them communicating through our common language. As a child, I had a chicken companion, and she would leave all of her chickens behind and follow me around the yard. And when I would sit down, she would come and she would climb in my lap and she would cuddle with me. I also had a goat companion, and he would play with me much like a dog. So he would run around and he would run towards me like he was going to headbutt me. And then right before he got to me, he would come to a screeching halt, gently nudge me, and then turn around and run in the other direction for me to give chase to him. We would play that game daily, sometimes for extended periods of time. As an adult, I met my first pot-bellied pig when a friend of mine adopted one. I was immediately enamored by his robust personality and the intelligence that he had. It was as if he could communicate his feelings and his needs to his guardians. And I knew when I met him that I wanted to welcome a pig into my life at some point. So 8 years ago, we welcomed Oliver, our first pot-bellied pig, into our home. We were amazed by his immense intelligence and by his capacity to learn everything from house training to tricks, and we were just immediately in love with him. We had never been around an animal who so closely resembled being around a small human child. The night he arrived, I had to hold little Oliver in my arms, bouncing him and rocking him like a baby. He was so unsure of his new surroundings that if I put him down, he would whine and literally cry, and it sounds like a screaming baby for those who have never heard a pig cry. The more we researched, the more we learned about them. And so we learned that they have the mental capacity of a 3 to 4 year old human, pigs do, that they are the fourth smartest creature on earth, and that they have a lifelong memory. This relationship was the driving force behind my husband, Evan, becoming vegan. The night that Oliver arrived, Evan was holding him in his arms, and he looked at me and he said, "This animal is so full of love. He's so intelligent. He's so sentient. He's no different than our cats and dogs. I'll never be able to eat pork products again. And I looked at him and I said, when you meet a cow and a chicken and a turkey and other farm animals, you're going to feel the same way. I had been vegetarian and was currently at that time transitioning to become vegan. As we join lots of social media groups to learn more about pigs and to share our stories about Oliver and our pictures, yes, we are those parents, we began to take notice of how many potbelly pigs were being sold as micro, nano, Juliana, teacup pigs and being promised to remain the size of a small dog. I'm glad you're laughing, because yes, this is a fallacy, it is a myth, it is a complete and total lie. We found that breeders were profiting off of these lies, and these animals were suffering as they were being abandoned once they grew well beyond their promised size. We wanted to help educate others about their true sizes, their care, their diet, their behavior. And we wanted to start helping to find homes for those who were being abandoned in kill shelters and literally some who were just dropped off on a dirt road in the country to fend for themselves. When we were searching for a home for such a pig named Louise, who was in a kill shelter and had 5 days left to live, Jan, the founder of Cotton Branch, saw our post on social media, and she reached out and she said, I can help you. And that's when we met Jan, and when we came to Cotton Branch, and we met all the animals at the sanctuary, and we immediately fell in love. And as Mark said earlier, we became volunteers, we began fundraising, we held events at our hometown in Charlotte, and began spreading the word about what Jan was doing at Cotton Branch. We eventually joined the board of directors, and 3 years ago, we were voted the succession plan for her retirement. So this year, Jan officially retired after 15 years of running Cotton Branch. 2.5 years ago, Evan and I left our home in the city in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we moved to the sanctuary. Had you asked us a few years ago where we would be today, I assure you Leesville, South Carolina was not on that list. Right now, though, we could think of nowhere else we'd rather be, and I could think of nothing I would rather be doing than spending my time and my life with these amazing animals who are so grateful and so compassionate and so loving. By living as a vegan, we are not only saving the lives of our fellow animals, we are improving the lives of our fellow humans, too, and we are contributing to help improve the environment. I'm going to lower this just a little. The major contributor to greenhouse gases, water pollution, and deforestation is animal agriculture. The massive fires that claimed so much of the Amazon this year was due to deforestation for animal agriculture. This is an inconvenient truth that many people do not want to address. The numbers considered livestock in the world today outnumber every other creature on Earth. That includes wildlife and even humans. In America alone, 70% of our land is used for either raising animals as livestock or growing crops not to feed humans, but to feed those livestock. Think about that, 70% of our land for animal agriculture. The unregulated conditions in slaughterhouses and chicken farms are abhorrent, and they subjugate our fellow humans to unsafe, unsanitary, physically and mentally damaging work environments each and every day. One recent study suggested that the largest hog-producing county in North Carolina will soon become the next Flint, Michigan. This is due to the water runoff contaminating the water supply, and it's the runoff from the hog farms. Another study has shown that within a 3-mile radius of these hog farms, the air quality is so dangerous that there is a much higher instance of respiratory diseases and infections and even cancers among the people living within a 3-mile radius of those hog farms. Last year's speaker here addressed the health consequences of an animal-heavy diet, from cardiovascular disease to cancers. And she talked about the benefits of taking animals off the plate. Many in the medical field now are acknowledging this fact and are at the very minimum recommending a great reduction in the consumption of animal products. More than rescue and placement, at Cotton Branch, we want to speak our language of love. For me, that is affirmation, words of affirmation, affirming every decision someone makes to be kind to an animal, to leave our fellow animals off their plate, to volunteer and give to help those who are rescuing animals in need and providing care for them. We must all take a look in the mirror and ask ourselves if we are okay with the immense suffering animals endure on a daily basis. These animals who speak our same language of love. Are we okay that every year 123 million pigs, these pigs who are the fourth smartest creature on earth, who sing to their young, suffer in horrible conditions, are abused, and die for our guilty pleasure of bacon and barbecue? Are we okay that 35 million cows, these same cows who nuzzle and cuddle their young, who cry literal tears when their babies are taken away from them, die each year for food? Are we okay that 8 billion chickens, chickens who communicate with their friends and recognize human faces, are we okay that they are killed for food each year? Are we okay that these animals who speak our same language of love suffer and die for our taste buds that can now be more than quenched by the amazing vegan alternatives that we have? It's so easy to ignore their suffering when we walk into a grocery store and we see neatly packaged products, neatly packaged meat. When we see cartons with happy cows on them, when we see eggs that say things like free range and free roaming. And by the way, in the egg industry now, that means nothing. These animals are still in cramped conditions. They are fed hormones and antibiotics. This getting passed on to the people who eat those eggs. And honestly, they suffer as much as the ones being kept four to a cage. The blood you see in that prepackaged meat, that is their blood. That was a living, breathing, sentient being capable of unconditional love, happiness, sadness, and suffering. I now want to share a short video of the animals at Cotton Branch. Some of the many we've rescued over the last few years. And I ask you to please listen to the words of the song and to look at these animals, to hear and see their language of love. Over. The first time I heard that song, I wept. And for many, I know you probably could not hear it. We had fixed the mic up earlier and everything was working, so I'm not sure what happened. When I heard the song the first time, and I encourage everyone to listen to it, it's called Rescue. It's by Lauren Daigle. I could see all the faces of all the animals we had been working to rescue for the past few years, especially the 550 we had rescued from the largest pig hoarding case in America in Kentucky that year. It spoke to me like no other song had because it embodied the mission and the message of Cotton Branch. So again, I want to ask everyone to look in the mirror, ask ourselves if we are okay contributing not only to the immense suffering of animals, but of our fellow humans and the destruction of the planet. I answered no to that question. And I ask each of you to do the same. It may not be an overnight change, but every time you leave animals and animal products off your plate, it is a step in the right direction. I am happy, as I know many others are here, to help with any resources anyone needs to start their journey to a kinder life. And in closing, I just want to say thank you so much for listening, for inviting me here today, and for choosing Cotton Branch as one of your charity partners for your Share the Plate program for the past 2 years. I assure you that every dollar given means the world to us and to the animals who are in our care. We need your help to keep saving lives and to continue providing the best care possible for all of our residents. I want to say that I'm not an employee. I'm the president, and I'm a volunteer. Evan is the executive director, also is not an employee. He is a volunteer. Our sanctuary, I believe, is a shining example of a nonprofit that is built and sustained by an ever-growing group of volunteers. Volunteers who, like us, care about the animals and who want to better our community and share their language of love. We welcome each of you to come visit and see what we do daily, to meet the amazing animals of Cotton Branch. And we welcome each of you to come volunteer with us at the sanctuary. We literally have pig cuddling as one of our volunteer opportunities, so I assure you there is something for everyone. We ask each of you also to come out, meet the animals, spend time with them, and hear their language of love. Thank you.